Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast here.
Been seeing you guys' podcast kind of blowing up here recently, so glad to get on.
It's Friday, December 23rd, and oh man. The people need us this week, boys. They need their help. Actually, although really, do you need help? If you've made it this far, like, does your lineup really need help? You probably know who you're playing, but nevertheless, you're here to listen to some good stuff for the Week 16 preview show. Joining me to preview a week where, oh, the people want us to talk about weather. Oh, my God. I don't want to talk about weather. I don't want to talk about any of that nonsense. I want to talk about great players and great games, and I want to do it with my guys, Dalton Del Don and Scott Pianowski. Scott, weather tilt, it's in full effect. I don't know how to deal with the weather. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. I'm not a professional. But how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Yeah, weather tilt and quarterback tilt. In a season where it's been so hard to find reliable quarterbacks, look at all the teams who are playing second string, third string. What the heck? Let's just start this guy quarterbacks this week. So it's going to be a week where you have to do your diligence. Yeah, obviously you have to pound the injury report, make sure your guys are good to go. You have to take an eye towards the weather. If nothing else, I mean, at least put your kickers into good spots. I'll talk about that later. We're bringing you kicker data today.
Oh, boy.
But I've never remember a year where it used to be like every year we'd have four or five teams you needed to stay away from. I feel like this year it's like 10 to 12 teams. It's like, I don't really trust that offense.
Oh, man. Yeah, the Jalen Hurts thing. In one league, I'm losing Jalen Hurts, but in another league, I'm going against somebody that has Jalen Hurts. It's like giveth and taketh, the fantasy football gods. Dalton, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. We're getting closer to the finish line. I'm in one semifinal league with Jalen Hurts and Jonathan Taylor, so that's not ideal. It's also super flex and missing Mike White, and I got a tiny bit of salary tied up to Trey Lance in that one, too. But anyway, let's talk some football. Week 16. Weather really is an issue. I mean, we don't like to overblow it, but wind really matters, and there's specifically a game in Cleveland that, I mean, I haven't seen an over-under 31 points in recent memory, or maybe any memory. So I have to talk about it a little, but yeah, it's the fantasy playoffs. So let's get to it.
Yeah, let's get right into it. We're going to preview the games in order of the Vegas over under, not including Sunday night and Monday night. We will do those at the end as always. It's going to get gross in a hurry here. A lot of low over unders. We'll get right into it. Let's start though with Packers at Dolphins. Scott, I'm going to go to you on this one because Dalton and I talked about Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Dalton officially red-pilled me on Aaron Rodgers this week, so I'm excited to talk about that. But let's talk about in this game with a 50-point over-under, Scott. How are we feeling about the Green Bay receiver core?
Yeah, I'm still – this is kind of some low-hanging fruit, but I would still play Christian Watson. I know the last time we saw him, it was a Monday night game. He was on a different page with Aaron Rodgers. If he read a hand signal right, he'd have another touchdown. But let's not forget he had 7 touchdowns in the 4 previous games. This is one game that seems insulated from weather. You know, Miami shouldn't be a problem. So, and Aaron Rodgers, he's been hit or miss this year, but I think maybe we'll get a better performance from him since it's a standalone game. It's really the one game on Christmas that looks watchable on that 3-game Christmas slate. So just Yeah, I know Lazard's back. I know the pass catching is a little bit more crowded now, but I still think Christian Watson is, 40% to score a touchdown. We'll lead this team in targets. That might mean 6 to 8 targets. I'd like to see a little bit more involvement, and he's averaging almost 19 yards a catch over the last month. In fact, if you prorated his stats over the last 5 weeks, we'd be looking at a 1,200-yard season. So it's not just the touchdowns. He's actually getting plenty of volume. I think if you have Watson, you probably are already good starting him, but I'll just give you that little extra shove towards the finish line.
Yeah, I think you're right, Scott. I feel really good about Christian Watson, who I've got on a playoff team. I'm going to definitely be rolling him out there this week. And, you know, you're so right to say that maybe a few weeks ago, definitely like a month and a half ago, this looked like another disgusting Christmas game where like, oh man, the Packers are going to get boat raced by the Dolphins. Maybe that happens. I don't have a lot of faith in the Packers defense to correctly play or like diagnose the weak points in the Dolphins offense as some of these other great coaching staffs like with the Chargers and Brandon Staley and the 49ers, obviously we D'Amico Ryans have done. Don't trust that, but the Packers are fighting for their playoff lives. They've at least got themselves believing that they can get this in here, and like with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs together on the field, and obviously Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb as well, like they've started to get something together there on offense. But Dalton, we talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers yesterday. I know you're still calling for a big Rodgers performance, a guy who hasn't gone over 300 yards at any point this year, which feels crazy.
Yeah, the winner of the last two MVPs hasn't been inside a top 10 fantasy QB finish in any week this year. But that changes this week. Dolphins allowing the second most fantasy points to QBs. Opponents have the second highest pass rate when playing in Miami. Finally has a healthy Watson, Lazard, and Doubs together. So in a matchup with one of the highest totals of the weekend, I'm saying Rodgers puts up a top 5 fantasy QB performance. And then quickly, if Jeff Wilson sits, and it remains unclear right now, I would move Raheem Mostert as high as my RB number 8 this week in this matchup. So clearly something to pay attention to, Wilson's status.
Yeah, he's probably the only one that we have any question about, right? Because he definitely has a really high ceiling in this spot against the Green Bay run defense. I'm with you that I've settled on Rodgers being my like top, because he got dropped in plenty of leagues, and I know I think everybody at one point on this podcast advocated for just going ahead and dropping Aaron Rodgers, like not thinking about the name. But if he's out there on a waiver wire still, didn't get picked up in the waiver run with like Minshew or whatever, I think I prefer him as my top pickup to replace Jalen Hurts. Scott, or do you agree with Dalton and I on that one?
I do. I also co-signed the Mostert call. The Packers are 32nd in rush DVOA, and I did some research. There are 32 teams in the NFL. So that's dead last. This was supposed to be a strength of the Packers, right? We thought they were going to be competitive this year because maybe the defense had overtaken the offense. Instead, they're both kind of lousy units. But Raheem Mostert coming off one of his better games of the year, he ran really well against the Buffalo defense we respect. Now he should run really well against the Green Bay defense that we do not respect.
Scott, you quote in DVOA. You feel this is a safe space to quote DVOA?
Yeah, not every football analyst is into DVOA, only like 90% of them, but I'll throw it out there. Hopefully you guys won't bite my head off.
Hey, this is a safe space for you to go ahead and quote DVOA, so we're okay with that here. I think I'm excited about this game from a fantasy perspective. I'm excited for this to be the 10 a.m., the early showing, where my in-laws won't be at the house yet, be making brunch a little bit, watching this game. Excited to be dialed in. And then, you know, all the olds will get here in the middle of the game. The middle of the day on Christmas. We'll put them all to sleep with Rams and Broncos there.
Yeah. Shout out to Lord Podcast, by the way. Arranging the slate in order of over-unders, high to low, was genius. You know, so we just didn't have to get into some of the gross games until the end.
We are so stupid.
A little bit punchy and silly.
We are so stupid, John and I, on this podcast. I'm like, we should, and my dumbass peak of all the stupid, I'm like, we should arrange these every week in order of fantasy juice. And then I just stopped doing that midway through. And then we just had a random order. I'm like, why would I not just think to do it by over unders and just save everybody the work along the way? What an idiot. What a terrible podcast host. But let's move along here. Let's keep it going with another fun game, a 49 point over under here, Seahawks at Chiefs. Dalton, there's no Tyler Lockett in this game, so I love how you just simply have DK Metcalf with the rocket emoji on the outline.
Noah Fant's banged up. Kenneth Walker's banged up. They're facing a KC team they're going to be playing behind. They have the fourth highest pass rate against Kansas City. Opponents are averaging more than 36 pass attempts. Metcalf's target rate has jumped 31% in his career with Lockett off the field. This is a Chiefs defense allowing 30 pass touchdowns, five more than the next worst. They allowed Russell Wilson to throw for three scores last time he was on the field. So, yeah, just a terrific matchup, almost too good to be true for Metcalf. His salary is outside the top five in Yahoo among wide receivers this week, too, in DFS. So, yeah, a rocket emoji for Metcalf for sure.
You know, we were talking about the Pro Bowl before we got on here and how I believe the Pro Bowl has been revalidated since the voters showed that they know ball because they got Terry McLaurin that last NFC spot. I'm kind of surprised that actually, because mostly it's a popularity contest, that DK Metcalf, because he's had 924 yards and six touchdowns, and he's a bigger name than a guy like Terry McLaurin or even Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I think is the most, like, if you want to put somebody in there that didn't get in there, I think St. Brown's actually the answer. But I'm a little surprised Metcalf actually didn't end up making that fourth spot because he and Tyler Lockett have been so productive without Russell Wilson, obviously, involved in the Seattle Seahawks this season. But yeah, I think Metcalf could really put a big statement game here. Any love for Marquise Goodwin as like a deeper sleeper play?
Absolutely. Sure. Like I said, they're going to have to pass a lot in this game. And both teams rank top 10 or 11, whatever, if I fibbed a little there, but top 11 in pace in neutral situations. So it should be a ton of plays in this game. They'll be playing from behind theoretically. So absolutely, Goodwin is a flex option in this matchup, especially. And I will say Will Disley also, if Fant sits and if Fant plays, then maybe you look at a mix there. But man, Disley looks like a total minimum punt in DFS if Fant and Lockett are both out of this game.
Scott, we talked a lot about Jarrett McKinnon on the recap pod this week and just how awesome he's been. I feel like we're set to get another good run out for McKinnon this week.
Yeah, this is mostly just a rehash of what we've been talking about and writing about Jarrett McKinnon. Not one of the running back ones. He's been running back one in back-to-back weeks, and now he gets a Seattle defense that's fallen apart. Look, Pacheco is the early down grinder, but he's also had a fumbling issue lately. It's obvious they trust McKinnon more in passing situations. They trust him more as a pass blocker. They trust him more in the passing game. And his expert consensus rank is running back 20. It's not because of us. We're not at fault here with McKinnon. We all have him in the teens. For some reason, Andy Behrens, who's just obviously a McKinnon hater, has him running back 32. So I don't know if Behrens is sitting the egg dog. Wow. What's he doing, man? I think Andy should be called out, you know, maybe put on a one-day suspension for that ranking. But although his seasonal rankings are probably better than mine this year. But whatever. And he got Josh Jacobs right, which is probably the most important thing you could have done on a football field this year for fantasy. But Jarek McKinnon is in the circle of trust, and I wonder if you would play Pacheco too. You think the game script should favor Pacheco? The last week it didn't hurt McKinnon at all, and Texans were surprisingly competitive. But I'm a little bit nervous that if Pacheco puts the ball on the ground one more time, he could maybe be put on fumble timeout. But no trust concerns with McKinnon. He's easily the only teams I want to see resting McKinnon this week is if you got like Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook or something like that, like Charles Robinson has in our Super League going up against me. It's fun. I was talking to my friend Sarah Sanchez. She's in a semifinal league, and she's like, "Oh, I got Henry and Cook." I'm like, "Oh, that's really good. Yeah, I hope those guys go off for you." And I came back the next day. I'm like, "I'm playing against those guys. We have to thread the needle here. They have to play well enough for you to win, but poorly enough that I can win my game too." So I'm a little bit conflicted on that. But Jarek McKinnon, man, I would be firing him up anywhere I can. I still think the prop market has been slow to adjust to him. I think a receiving prop ticket on McKinnon would make a lot of sense too.
You can sort the Fantasy Pros rankers, and Behrens is the fifth lowest in McKinnon this week among all the Fantasy Pros. Man, what a hater. Man, this guy's killing it. Second most yards per touch in the league, the best offense in the league. Clyde Edwards-Helaire still out. What a hater.
What an egregious situation there by Andy Behrens. What a scandal, honestly, if we really want to be serious about it. Hey, anything on the KC pass catchers in this one from either one of you guys? Just, you know, for people, if they got Juju on their team, whatever, any expectations there?
Fire up Juju. He's quietly really been seeing nice targets. If you just take away that little two-game stretch where he was dealing with an injury, so I think he's become a weekly must start on an offense that leads the league in the most yards per play, EPA per play, and points per game. But then it may get a bit crowded when Tony's return. So I mean, it's not really ideal after that. Juju for sure. And then it just kind of comes to your team. I'd really not want to rely on any of the others in my fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, it's possible they may get Harbin back, which complicates things. I mean,
him too.
Patrick Mahomes is right now the MVP elect with Jalen Hurts getting hurt. And yet there hasn't been a lot of pass catchers going along for the ride. Travis, I will say that since we mentioned Kelce in passing, he's the second player listed on the Yahoo MVPs after Josh Jacobs. I did an article on that a couple days ago. Very therapeutic for me because I didn't draft almost any of these guys. I picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl and drafted into almost nothing on their offense, which is really friggin' bright. But Kelsey's number two on that MVP list, which is pumped up this idea that we should get rid of the tight end position next year because the difference between Kelsey and tight end two is the same as the difference between tight end two and tight end 47. I realize that's absurd. Tight end is usually top heavy. It's just unusually so this year. Don't get rid of the tight end position. And I think we're going to have some great discussions next year about what to do with Kelsey because he's entering his age 34 season. That's a danger zone for any player, especially a tight end. But he's dominated the position so well. He's been the one or two tight end in seven straight seasons. So he'll be a fun flashpoint next year. But don't make your game easier by getting rid of tight end. Make your game harder. You have to go through the pain and the emotional turmoil of trying to pick up a garbage tight end every week. Just praying for 50 yards, praying he'll do what like Okonkwo does every week, or he'll get a flipper on the goal line. It'll be one of the weeks that Juwan Johnson scores or something like that. That's what the true fantasy experience is supposed to be.
I am desperately hoping, Scott, that Dawson Knox is going to keep it hot here.
Oh, yeah, your boy Knox, yeah.
My boy Dawson Knox. I'm officially Knox over Dulcich in my great debate every single week in these two teams.
I will be firing up a Dulcich's prop as soon as we get done from this podcast. I know your consistency in getting that wrong has been remarkable.
It's stunning. It's the thing. You can set your watch by me getting this wrong, but I'm hoping that Knox is like a guy that delivers the rest of the way just for my own sanity. But we'll get to that later, I'm sure. Giants at Vikings, next game up here. Scott, your boy Darius Slayton, can we trust him in this matchup?
Yeah, I think Dalton and I are on the same page here. We're going to attack this Vikings secondary, one of the five worst in the league. And think of some of the teams that have thrown for over 300, right? Teddy Bridgewater did it. Mac Jones, who I'm convinced can't play in the NFL. He's like, his upside is like quarterback 23 or something like that. He looked like a Manning brother against the Vikings. You know, Hurts went for over 300 against them. Kyler Murray hasn't had a great season over 300. Jared Goff, who maybe I shouldn't say bad things about the Lions, have a pretty good team right now. Now, Slayton, 10.2 yards per target. I like that. He averages about 15.5 yards per catch. The problem is they don't score a ton of touchdowns. He only has two. And so you have to deal with that. But I would think Minnesota is going to be – I said in my article today with the sleeper article, I said, look, the people in Minnesota are like the friendliest people in the country. And I think that the Vikings secondary has taken on that ethos. You know, they're not here to rough you up. They're not here to hit you late. And they're not here to really get in your way. They're here to escort you. And I like that Dalton's going to give us some Daniel Jones pub in a minute. Daniel Jones is quarterback 11 this year. Where the heck did that come from? Slayton's a deeper league play. If you're an 8-teamer or a 10-teamer, you should have better receivers than Slayton. But if you're weathered out from one of your receivers, maybe you lost Lockett, or maybe another injury is coming to play. I think Slayton's somewhere between wide receiver 28 and 35 this week, which makes him quasi-playable.
Dalton, Danny Dimes, the rushing bonus is usually what we're looking for out of Dimes as a fantasy player, but the passing opportunity should be there this week.
Yeah, his schedule has been incredibly tough recently at Dallas, Washington, Philadelphia, at Washington again, and now he goes indoors, Minnesota defense allowing the second highest YPA, second most passing yards, I think sixth most fantasy points. So he'll get it done on the ground and hopefully more passing this week. I agree. I like Slayton as a strong flex play. And just game script. Minnesota should put up points on the other side of the ball, and they're pretty good against opposing backs too. So I like the setup here for Danny Dimes quite a bit and treating him and ranking him as a top 10 fantasy QB.
Am I getting too cute by thinking we can potentially look for another big game out of KJ Osborne here? He had like the game of his life, obviously, against the Colts in that comeback effort. You know, he's an interesting player. He's very athletic. He can definitely get open, but he's kind of a sloppy player, a little bit of a mistake-prone player as a route runner and as a catcher too, which, by the way, pretty two important parts of playing the wide receiver position. But the Vikings, they obviously can – they're decent offense. They're pretty efficient. And the Giants – they've been certainly giving it up there. Even a couple of big plays, obviously, to Jahan Dotson, to Terry McLaurin, even to Curtis Samuel down the sideline against the Washington football team. I feel like, look, you got to be pretty desperate, obviously, if you're in just like a fantasy football championship push here to be playing KJ Osborne. But DFS perspective, prop betting perspective, either you guys, Scott, you think that's a little too cute, a little too chasey to think KJ Osborne can sort of kind of dial it back?
I don't know what to do with him. 16 targets last week. Thielen only had four, although they both scored touchdowns. Obviously, that game script was highly unusual. You don't get behind by 33 points every day. But if you ever do, just hope it's against a Matt Ryan team because you have a puncher's chance to come back. I don't know why Matt Ryan played such a lousy defense in the second half. Poor guy. Might be his last NFL start. He goes down as the worst Super Bowl comeback in all, you know, the worst Super Bowl choke of all time, the worst regular season choke of all time on Matt Ryan's watch. And this is a guy who won an MVP. He won't be a Hall of Famer, but he's, you know, kind of on the borderline of the Hall of Fame. I feel a little bit bad for Matt Ryan. I don't know how to reconcile those targets. I have Osborne in the low 40s on my receiver board. So again, if you were really hit by the injury bug, you just have all the wrong guys getting hurt, or maybe somebody gets downgraded. Remember, Thursday is basically the Friday this week with so many teams playing on Saturday. So make sure you grinded out all those Thursday reports. We don't have a lot of them as we're taping right now, but you could consider Osborne. I don't consider him a proactive play. He would be somebody I would play reactively if my roster forced me into it.
Yeah, he's the fifth option on Minnesota. I wouldn't chase last week's stats when it was so weird being down 33-0, just forced Cousins to throw a ton. Now, I wouldn't fault you for playing Osborne over Thielen. I mean, frankly, he looks like the better player now. But no, I think this game script sets up better for a nice Dalvin Cook game. One thing interesting to point out, I've heard people mention that Cook has really struggled, and the Vikings in general, at running the ball since the trade for Hockenson. But that also coincided with a crazy tough schedule. Washington, Buffalo, Dallas, New England, the Jets, the Lions, the toughest team against the run.
And then surging Detroit Lions,
and then
yes.
last week, Cook was the number two fantasy back when he got an easier matchup. So no to Osborne, just because I see him fifth in the pecking order this week in a game that the Vikings likely control and play with the lead mostly, unlike last week.
Let's also give Minnesota some props. In a year where tight end has been gross, they acquired T.J. Hockenson in the middle of the season. And a lot of times when a pass catcher changes teams middle of the season, they never really look comfortable. T.J. Hockenson's played better with the Vikings than he has with the Lions. And the Lions are a pretty good offense this year. So for all the things that Cousins hasn't done right, I mean, he's got the worst metrics of his career. You could argue this is the worst season of his career, despite Justin Jefferson going to the moon. They have gotten Hockenson involved in this offense, so they get credit for that.
Yeah, they certainly get credit for that. All right. Eagles at Cowboys. Of course, the big question in this game is, what will Gardner Minshew do in the absence of Jalen Hurts? Scott, what do we think?
Yeah, for once, it's nice to go to a backup quarterback that we have a little bit of faith in. And so I put in the script, you guys probably have no idea what this means. I said Minshew PBI 85%. PBI is the P&L backup index, which is an unscientific percentage of how much efficiency an offense should retain when the backup quarterback is playing. So I'm giving Minshew 85. I'm saying the Eagles are about 85% as good on offense with Minshew. Now, remember, last year, Dallas Goedert's best game of the season was a Gardner Minshew game against the Jets, caught a couple of touchdowns. The offense will be shaped differently. There won't be as many proactive runs. Maybe that helps the touchdown equity for Miles Sanders, although he scored plenty of touchdowns anyway. But all the main takeaway, this is pretty obvious. I think you're going to get this from any fantasy analyst, but any Eagle you're going to play anyway, other than Hurts, of course, you're going to play A.J. Brown, of course. But if you're waffling on Goddard or Smith or Sanders, I play all of them. And Minshew, if you don't have Hurts, or if you don't like some of your quarterbacks in bad matchups, bad weather, whatever, I think Minshew, the wide range of outcomes, he could easily score 7 or 8 points. But I think he'll probably be somewhere in like the 16 to 18 point range. It's such a safe landing spot, right? I mean, it's much like in San Francisco where Brock Purdy has landed in this, you know, this new SUV with all the trimmings on it. I feel like that's what the Eagles offense is. Great offensive line, outstanding pass catchers. They just got their tight end back and they have a proactive running game. So I think Minshew has a good game. And I think your Eagles that you're going to play anyway, I still think you start them confidently. And I didn't make any major adjustments to the, I know they're getting 5.5 points. It's a hard game to figure out motivation wise. What does Philly do, right? You can't send everybody to Aruba for a month. You'll be incredibly rusty, but you don't want to get guys hurt in games that you don't need. So that's a little bit of an X factor here. And the line is kind of funny. I don't know how Dalton picked the game this week, but I am going to be proactive with the Eagles offense. And I'm excited to see Minshew play. He's not Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts was the MVP until like 15 minutes ago, but I think Minshew is a good quarterback. I think he should be starting somewhere.
It's pretty wild. Number one, I agree with you. I want to see, by the way, we need the PBI. We need that published, the P&L backup index. We need that published and regularly updated on the site every week, like what your confidence level on every back. Seriously, though, I'm not kidding. Like that actually would be useful, Scott.
You know, it was awesome. Somebody went on Wikipedia when I first came out with the PBI, you know, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever. And they PBI stands for a bunch of different things, like real things. And somebody threw out P&L backup index, an unscientific percentage that tells you how efficient an offense will be with the backup quarterback playing. You know, it stayed on Wikipedia for, I don't know, 15 minutes until somebody took it off. But so, you know, the PBI, the people have responded to the PBI in the past, and I hope it comes through for you here with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I'm saying we need that. We need that updated because there's been a lot of backup quarterbacks that are playing. A lot of goof. There's a lot of low PBI.
I go to Taylor, Trace McSorley, very low PBI.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one's been just ticking down, you know. Go to what's the PBI index though between Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy? Now I'm curious.
That's a good one. Maybe
I'll let you think. I'll let you think on it, and then we'll get to it.
75 to 80%, something in that range.
Okay, well, we'll get to that.
But that's only because Murray has really lost my confidence. I don't think Murray's had a good season at all, and I don't want to kick a guy when he's down. He's not here to defend himself, but I didn't feel that much worse with the Arizona's. Just, man, there's a team that's just ready for the golf course, man.
Yeah,
there could 100%. Be golf clubs on the Arizona sideline. Look for those when they play Sunday. 100%. I guess it is, right?
Yeah, no, we can. We're gonna get your PBI takes throughout the pod now because I like this a lot. Dalton, Eagles here. Look, there's a couple of good spots for guys like Devontae Smith. I think has a great run out as the right wide receiver going against, like, you know, there's like the Where's Waldo is Kelvin Joseph right now on the Cowboys defense. Like, that guy's out there. We're going to go attack him. The Jaguars did it relentlessly last week. I feel like Devontae Smith's going to run a lot of routes in that direction. That could be a good spot for Minshew to get it going here. But talk to us about Miles Sanders in this game.
Well, first of all, it's funny you just brought up Smith, because as we're talking, I just moved him up to my 12th receiver of the week because I totally agree with you. I mean, Dallas Goedert will add some additional competition, but he no longer has a quarterback who's going to run double-digit times.
Yep.
And Cowboys have been getting destroyed by opponents wide receiver two. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just such a nice setup for Smith this week. Miles Sanders nor any other running back on the Eagles received a carry until 2 minutes and 49 seconds was left in the first half last week against a Bears team that opponents have by far the highest run rate on this season. But I didn't use him in DFS or anything like that. I mean, just absolutely bizarre usage from Sanders. He'll likely get more carries now with Hurts. So I think Hurts is top three in carries inside the five. So this could help his touchdown equity this week. May even see a few more targets too. Cowboys allowing the third fewest fantasy points to running backs, but they're averaging 104 rushing yards. So it'd be a nice little setup here for Sanders. I'd say it's actually boosts his fantasy value with Hurts, unfortunately, sitting this one out.
Yeah, I think that's the interesting part of it. You mentioned, like, the fantasy numbers aren't great in terms of, like, running backs against Dallas. It doesn't look like a spot that you can attack, but you watch them play, like, especially like particular types of runs too, like anything that involves misdirection, stuff like that. They overplay that. They're a very aggressive unit. Like when Green Bay played them, exactly, you know, about a month ago or something like that, they really got sliced up there. So I think that's something that you could potentially look at. Just if you look, just since week 12, Dallas is like 16th in rushing success rate allowed. It might be an exploitable spot for Sanders, and you're right to point out the touchdown equity is obviously going to be up with Jalen Hurts out as well.
Because I like Minshew. I want to second you guys. I'm in on Minshew. Treat him as startable this week for sure. Absolutely capable replacement. He's going to move the ball for sure. I like the Eagles and the points in what should be a competitive game.
Yeah, and I say this as somebody who is going to replace Hurts with Minshew most likely, just based on the waiver wire went out, how that rolled out. I'm not expecting like a 30-point hammer. Like, Jalen Hurts has literally been just dropping those left and right all year long. But I think you can get a good solid like 18 to 20 out of Minshew at a bare minimum. I think it feels pretty right against this. And it's just you're right, Scott. It's such a good ecosystem. I'm not sure what's better. And if you're looking at like Brock Purdy in San Francisco or Minshew in Philly, but like, the line is well set up. The weapons are there. The play calling's good. Shane Steichen's going to be a head coach most likely next year, their offensive coordinator. So a lot of good stuff there for Minshew to walk into. Let's move to the next game here. The Lions have come up at least 55 times on the show so far. Let's talk about them. They're going to Carolina. They're 2.5-point road favorites. Scott, let's spin that wheel with DeAndre Swift, baby. We mostly know what we're getting with the Lions offense, except DeAndre Swift's carries.
Yeah, at least the usage has trended up in the last 3 weeks. He had the 18 touches against Jacksonville, 9 touches against Minnesota, and then he gets 13 against the Jets. And he's getting more involved in the passing game. He has what is it, 27 targets the last 4 weeks and 16 catches. So I feel confident for the first time in a while that he's going to get double-digit touches in this game. It'll probably get 3 to 5 catches. Carolina, probably a neutral matchup, a game that weather may be a little bit chilly there, but it won't be a prohibitive factor. You know, look, the Lions have, talk about ecosystems, right? Infrastructure we trust, a really good offensive line. Jared Goff has been consistent all year. And the tree, the usage isn't really that splintered, right? I mean, they obviously have St. Brown. He's a great slot receiver. Williams is your touchdown equity guy. Occasionally, they sprinkle some work to a third running back, but not that much. Goff doesn't run that much. They haven't had a tight end consistently emerge since they traded Hockenson. Jameson Williams is still just a part-time player, and I think that's wise given the injury he's coming off. You know, don't want to give him too much to chew on right now. So for the first time in a while, I look at Swift. You're not dreaming of those 18 touches he had against Jacksonville. I think that's not going to happen. But will he get somewhere between 10 and 14 touches? I feel pretty good about that. Probably half of those touches in the passing game. So you pile up some PPR points. I give him maybe a 35% chance at a touchdown. This sounds like a lower-end running back two or maybe a higher-end flex play. That's the highest I've been on Swift probably in about 2 months.
Yeah, that feels fair to me. Dalton, we talked a lot about the precarious spot that the Panthers running backs, particularly Dante Foreman, is in this week. But what about the passing game? Is there anyone you're ready to drop the rocket ship emoji on?
I am. DJ Moore totally in on this week. He has a 68% slot rate with Sam Darnold, since Sam Darnold took back.
Ooh, I love that.
Quarterback, 68%. And guess which team allows the most fantasy points to the slot this season? That is the Lions, who have also become literally the toughest team to run the ball against. So should be a nice setup for DJ Moore here. Fire him up in your fantasy playoffs.
Hey, I love that.
I need it. I need DJ Moore, man. So I'm, you know, if that goes south on me, I'm coming to you, Dalton, because right, from your words to my roster to God's ears.
Hey, when has relying on DJ Moore this year ever gone wrong?
Yeah, you're right. I know.
I thought the rocket ship was a little bit too far, though. I don't know he's played well enough that he deserves a rocket ship. Is there something like, you know, skipping over, playing hopscotch or something? I don't know.
No,
I don't
think he's going to, this week he deserves it, is what I'm saying.
But I think he's going to the moon. I think he's maybe climbing up the tree. You know, he's going to make it to the treehouse this week.
Yeah, how many points can Carolina score? That's fair.
I mean, these are all very fair questions. I love the dissecting of the emoji use. That's when you know we've really gotten to high-level fantasy analysis here. Not a lot of high-level offense going on with the New England Patriots. They get the Bengals in New England this week, 41.5 over-under. It's a tough spot for Joe Mixon, Dalton.
Yeah, the Patriots are allowing the fewest yards per play at home this season, the second fewest fantasy points to running backs, NFL low 6 rushing scored. Mixon's yards from scrimmage basically is cut in half when on the road this season. It's just not a great setup there for Mixon, who frankly doesn't quite look as good as Samaje Perine these days.
Right.
And he's lost a bunch of carries to him last week too. So, you're going to start him, and the targets have been there for Mixon, but, you know, expect more like top 20-ish type production from him in this matchup. It's not ideal in your fantasy playoffs.
Scott, the Patriots are so nauseating that you have a kicker note on the outline.
Yeah, I was trying to delete this game from the outline, but apparently Lord Podcast wouldn't have it. But it's really simple. This is not 3D chess. Okay, it's a New England game, Foxborough, December. I know McPherson's a good kicker. I know Folk's a good kicker. And you always think of the Patriots as stalling out in the red zone anyway. They've been a horrible red zone offense. That could be good for fantasy. But I'm not going to have my game come down to one of these guys. I would love to take Graham Gano, widely available. He's got a long leg. He's playing indoors. I have Gano as kicker 4 this week. McPherson and Folk in a normal week would be top 10 kickers for me. I moved them both outside my top 10. Again, I know it's kickers. I know some of you are probably playing in leagues that don't use kickers. I get it. But just give yourself a puncher's chance. Go to the warm weather and don't start either one of these kickers. And really, other than Ramondre Stevenson, don't play either anybody in the Patriots. I somebody said Zappy time on the
Belichick is denied to name Mac Jones a starter. I mean, he's flat out denied to name him it. So
you know what?
Be aware
at this point,
that if you're relying on him,
the team's going nowhere. The team's going nowhere. The loss last week didn't. I'm a New England guy, so it's like, one of my Raider friends was talking all this trash. I'm like, well, congratulations. Maybe your team will make it to the AFC 7th seed and get, you know, wiped off the map in week one. That's the Patriots' upside this year, is maybe sneak in the playoffs and go nowhere. I'm so down on Mac Jones. I know Zappy, you know, doesn't have the pedigree. He's shorter, but
what's the PBI, Scott? Could he be any worse?
The problem is this offense is if they retain the efficiency they have with Mac Jones, it's not necessarily a good thing. I mean,
good point.
Bailey Zappi might have positive PBI.
That's what I was saying. 105%. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going 105. Yeah. That's your Bailey Zappi PBI. If he's announced as the starter and Belichick, you're lucky he'll concede that there's a game on Sunday or Saturday. He doesn't want to tell you anything. But if they announce Zappi as the starter, I'm moving all my Patriots up cosmetically.
Yeah, from what, like wide receiver 75 to wide receiver 72?
Well, hey, a move up is a move up. You know, you take what you can get.
Nevertheless, you can't deny the facts of the situation here that they are moving up, that we've spent enough time on this disgrace of a New England Patriots, Matt Patricia offense. Let's move to the next game here. Another AFC East team, the Buffalo Bills, going to Chicago. They're 8.5-point favorites. Scott, it looks like a smash spot for get all your Bills in the pool, except we only really care about two Buffalo Bills players.
Yeah, it's a whirlpool. It's not a swimming pool, right? It's only room for Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Lately, Dawson Knox has spread his wings. There's really no major upside for Devin Singletary. I have to play him in a league, and if you told me he could get like 8.5 points, I might take it right now. Because who knows? Maybe Cook will get involved. You know, McKenzie pops up like every 5 or 6 weeks. They lost Crowder a long time ago, and this could be a weather game as well. I actually don't want to play. If the weather's bad, I don't want to play Knox either. It's a two-man Buffalo show for me, and I get you might be like me, pinched with Singletary. I don't, you know, in less competitive leagues, or maybe you're just shrewder than I am. You've got a better running back room. You don't have to play Devin Singletary. I'm not blessed with that. I mean, Singletary might be the best running back on my playoff team in that 20-team Charles Robinson league where he has Dalvin Cook and Derrick Henry. I mean, I just hope his team comes in overconfident, right? I need to have a Cinderella story. I need the 30-point underdog win to be mine. But Buffalo, a major Super Bowl contender, and they have two fantasy players we can count on every week. Who knew?
I'm desperate for another Dawson Knox game. I'm desperate. I need
the fact that you're starting. I'm going to move him down about 4 slots.
I know. God, it's unbelievable how you can set your clock by it. Dalton, Khalil Herbert is back for the Chicago Bears. All the Bears want to do is run anyway. So we should get some work for him.
Yeah, not a ton to add here on the Bears side other than let's see how many touches Herbert takes away from David Montgomery. All the receivers are injured there. Even their number one, St. Brown, left last week on the first play of
their
the game.
Their number one, St. Brown. Not Amon-Ra, by the way.
Right. Yes, exactly. The lesser of the brothers. But I promised not to get too much into weather, but I just want to second what P&L said. This game actually could have wind gusts up to 35 miles per hour and temperatures that feel like negative 10 degrees. So it could be pretty extreme there. This is one of the few to really pay attention to is this Bills Chicago game.
Dalton, have you ever seen snow before?
I'm a couple hours from the snow, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not much of a skier. I'm more of a snowmobiler. My dad was.
Yeah. I just know you California boys, you know, it's like, yeah, it gets into the low 50s. You guys are probably reaching for a sweater, but
yeah, it's a little bit different here.
Yeah.
I am a few hours away, but yes.
You're generous, by the way. People in LA, at least, it's like, oh, in the 60s, you see people in puffers outside, and it's quite a sight. What a weird city.
Yeah, I actually have seasons where I live. Harmon does not. Yeah, he's the guy you should be giving a hard time.
When I used to live in LA, it's like, you know, 2 inches of rain, storm watch 2000. You know, what you need to know.
Don't even get me started on people in the rain in this city. I'm not born and bred LA. I'm not from here.
You're all transplants.
Yes, but it's a tough scene. It's a tough scene when it rains in this city. It is not it's not equipped to handle anything. Let's just put it that way. All right. Before I get into my thoughts on the power grid next here in LA, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're about to start slinging some mud here in some of these other games right after this. All right, we're back. Raiders at Steelers. Scott, I love your note on this one. The Steelers are not losing on Franco Harris Day.
Yeah, I'm going down on narrative street. I don't know about you, Dalton. I found this was a very difficult week against the spread. I don't have a lot of convictions with my picks, but the Steelers spotting less than a field goal to an ordinary Raiders team. Mike Tomlin still hasn't playing hard. They had a good win against the Carolina team. That is no punching bag last week, and the Steelers controlled that game. And Pittsburgh is a team, and what, they have 4 head coaches, I think, in their franchise history. I mean, the fans will come out. they'll be inspired. Tomlin will have the guys ready to go. I don't think the Raiders are anything special. I mean, obviously, you drafted Jacobs or Adams, you feel great. But, you know, this Raiders team is going nowhere. They're welcome to take the Jacoby Myers gift last week. But they've been pretty lucky with some of their wins recently, a couple overtime wins. I think the Steelers empty the emotional reservoir. I don't know what my five darts are going to be, but the Steelers are going to be one of them. And they're the one team I can give you with conviction because they're the one franchise that really feels like a family. I mean, a lot of these teams are just, it's mercenaries, guys come, guys go. The Steelers have so much continuity with Tomlin and such a great, loyal fan base that I think it matters when something like Franco Harris passes and it was the day he was supposed to be honored. It's the anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. Maybe there was a conception that week too, I don't know. But the Immaculate Reception.
Well, it's Christmas time, Scott. It's all in the air.
In fact, you know, I'm actually talking myself into it. Not only am I going to bet the Steelers for the game, I might actually bet them for the first half. I bet it's like 17-0 Steelers at halftime or late in the second quarter. So it's narrative street. It's all emotional. And I know not everybody goes for that. But I think a big part of handicapping the NFL is the emotional ebbs and flows. And this is the Steelers Super Bowl. They're not going to the playoffs, but they're going to play really well this week.
I love that call. I'm going to tail you on that Steelers pick. Dalton, on the other side of it with the Raiders, had a listener let me know, shout out to, I think it was Brent on Twitter, let me know that after Austin and I discussed Derek Carr and his outlook versus Danny Dimes on the show, like apparently Derek Carr is like 0-5 in games with sub 10 degree weather, something like that. It's going to be cold there in Pittsburgh. There's a California guy, a West Coast guy.
Fresno
guy, West Coast guy going to the East Coast when it's going to be cold. These people don't know how to deal with weather, Dalton. How will the Raiders' passing attack fare in
Pittsburgh? I'm with P&L, and I like the Steelers against the spread here, but I like how that game script set up for a nice Davante Adams bounce back, playing from behind the second half. They're going to have a hard time running against this Pittsburgh defense in Pittsburgh. Adams just faced, you know, coming off one of his worst games of the season, facing a Belichick defense that lived up to the cliche of shutting down the opponent's best player. Now, you know, the Steelers have allowed the fourth most fantasy points to receivers. Adams has scored twice as many touchdowns when on the road this season than at home. So yeah, fire him up in DFS lineups in this matchup. But outdoors, I hear you with Carr, but I think they'll be just whatever. If that leads to them playing from behind, then the volume will be there for Adams.
Yeah, it was Brent sent the exact stat is Derek Carr is 0-5 in games under 37 degrees. Scott, that came and handled 37 degrees, high of 11 degrees on Sunday in Pittsburgh. That is an interesting one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to fire up some Derek Carr props to the negative. He'll definitely throw an interception in that game. And I know he's generally a risk-averse quarterback, but again, Pittsburgh's going to have a 17-3 lead in this game. Mark my words.
Yeah, I like that call there. All right, Commanders at 49ers, man. I'm going to save Dalton here for a second. I know he's got a five-minute rant on CMC not making the Pro Bowl. We'll keep that in the holster for just a sec, Triple D, but... Scott, I am desperate to know your answer to this question. Can we trust any Commanders against the best defense in the NFL? And Rivera, Coach Rivera, by the way, if you haven't watched the video of Ron Rivera telling the guys who made the Pro Bowl, including Jeremy Reeves, making it special teamers, you gotta check that out on the Commanders' Twitter. It was just an awesome video, and you know, just reminds you what a good guy Rivera is and how much those players love playing for him. And it's just very, very cool. I would just recommend everybody checking out. But Rivera's even putting us like on potential Carson Wentz watch this week, which I don't like, but I could certainly see Heinicke making a few mistakes against his defense, Scott.
Yeah, I think it's a mistake to, even if he's close to maybe getting Wentz in there, you don't want to mess with your quarterback's head, your quarterback's confidence. Heinicke hasn't played well. I mean, the best thing you can say about Heinicke is maybe he's been a little bit better than Wentz, but I don't like just planting that seed in Heinicke's head. I'm going to be reactive, not proactive, on every Washington guy. Robinson should have had the touchdown last week. They call that ticky-tack lineup penalty, the off-the-line-of-scrimmage penalty on McLaurin when he's communicating with the official and he seems to get the go-ahead. That's standard operating procedure at all levels of football for that outside receiver. You know, am I on the line of scrimmage? Yeah, you're good. Okay, fine. He's nowhere near the play. He's nowhere near the action on that play. It's so stupid. And of course, just to make it look even worse, they have an egregious pass interference call that's ignored on fourth down. So Washington, they still needed to get the 2-point conversion and punch in the touchdown if they had called that pass interference, but Robinson's touchdown should have counted on third down. None of this matters now. The Niners have the best defense in football. They have an offense that I trust. They'll play from a positive game script. Heinicke's going to be under duress, probably turn the ball over a few times. you may not have the depth to bench Pro Bowler Terry McLaurin, but I'm going to think about it. And I don't want to play Robinson. Antonio Gibson hasn't really been playable. It's a shame. Jahan Dotson, why can't they have the Vikings this week, right? Talk about a rookie receiver, the slow-developing Polaroid. He looks terrific. And he actually might be the Washington receiver. If you have to play one of them, he might be a better player than McLaurin right now for fantasy purposes. But I don't want to mess with these Niners defense. You know, they only beat Seattle 21-13. Didn't that game feel like 37-3? It didn't feel competitive to me. I know Seattle had a late touchdown to kind of tidy it up a little bit. But I think the Niners roll here. And I think the Niners can still go to the Super Bowl, even with their third-string quarterback.
Co-sign basically everything you just said, Scott. If I've got a team with Terry alive, I don't think I have the depth to bench him. But yeah, I'd love to play Dotson, but the 15 targets the last two games, but I just really can't stomach it against this Niners D. Dalton, the floor is yours to talk about the 49ers and the crime against Christian McCaffrey.
To further how tough a matchup this is for Brian Robinson, quickly, no running back has run for 60 yards against the Niners this season. That's especially bad news for Robinson, who has just 10 targets on the year. San Francisco has allowed just one touchdown to a running back since week 7. Opponents have the lowest run rate, 29%, in Levi's Stadium this season. So, yeah, it's an awful matchup for Robinson and McLaurin. I would try to sit if possible as well.
Maybe those running backs can't get to the stadium. The traffic is so bad getting there that maybe these teams just don't arrive until the second half.
So far it's away, also, too.
It's also really impressive when a team has a great run defense and it's part of an overall defense. Like, for example, Tennessee's number one in rush DVOA, but they're so awful against the pass. You wonder if that's kind of misleading, right? I mean, so what? You can't run against Tennessee, you just throw over the top of them. The Niners' defense is good at everything. D'Amico Ryans, obviously, he's going to be interviewed liberally. He's going to be a head coach pretty soon. But I think I like Robinson as a player. It's a great story, of course, but he's going nowhere this week.
Yeah, my parking pass, it takes about a 30-minute walk to the stadium. It's certainly not ideal there. I'll talk about George Kittle. Washington has yielded the fewest fantasy points to tight ends, so maybe that's why his salary is just $14 in our Yahoo DFS game. He's getting a 21% target rate over the last two games with Purdy. There's no Debo Samuel. You look at the nerdy stats like Washington's primary cover versus his yards per route run. It looks like it's wheels up for Kittle this week. I'd be remiss if I didn't say what a joke that McCaffrey did not make the Pro Bowl. Dude has 400 more yards from scrimmage than Miles Sanders. We don't have to get into the nerd stats there. 400 more yards from scrimmage, and he did snubbed for Miles Sanders. But I regress. Is the Pro Bowl even exist anymore? There's not even a game, right? Literally not a game. Is that correct?
Something like that. Like
Peyton, do they play Eli a game, or am I making that up? Or is there going to be a game? Or am I making that up?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know if they play anymore. Let's talk about the real issue I'm concerned about. This is the third time in the outline Dalton used the rocket emoji. You're like the baseball pitcher who's just throwing the same pitch over and over again. It's great if you're Mariano Rivera. You throw a cut fastball, nobody can hit it.
Because it's a copy and paste. It's not a laziness. It's a copy and paste.
Yeah, I just think you need a little bit more.
I don't know how to use these.
You need a little bit more diversity. You have a couple of kids. You should be fluent in emoji by now.
I know I should be, but it's a weak spot. But firm but fair, P&L. Firm but fair.
Yeah, Dalton's a boomer, that's for sure. Doesn't know how any of this stuff works. Hey, Dalton, you say no Brian Robinson. Totally not a personal question. Would you play Brian Robinson or Deion Jackson this week?
I thought you were going to ask me Zach Moss. It's funny. If it's PPR, easily Jackson. No brainer. Jackson.
Is it Jackson?
Yeah. It makes me want to puke. All right. Again, not a personal question, though. Broncos at Rams. Speaking of makes you want to puke.
Makes you want to puke, yeah. This isn't even the lowest total. There's games worse than this, apparently.
Scott, what's the PBI for Russell Wilson replacing Brett Rypien?
My software can't handle it. It just crashes the program. There's only one good thing about this game is that Cam Akers and Latavius Murray, the 47-year-old Latavius Murray, they both have really safe touch floors. They have 10 touches in their back pocket, even if the game gets out of hand, which it won't, and they can go up to 20 touches. Yeah, are they going to be efficient? They're probably going to average like 3.6 yards a carry, but whatever. Both these teams are probably looking at maybe one offensive touchdown, but you would think Akers and Murray both have a decent chance at grabbing said touchdown. I'd be playing them again. I have a team I may have to play some really ugly running backs. I would actually welcome Akers or Murray into my semifinal lineups.
Oh, dude, I filed my bold prediction on Latavius Murray this week. As long as he plays, I know he's missed practice on Thursday, but I'm trying to manifest it because I need him to save my ass in the Jalen Hurts team that I'm missing. I'm like, I just hope Latavius Murray can give me another banger of a week here. So I'm with you on this one, Scott. Rams run defense is starting to regress a little bit back to, you know, there's no Aaron Donald. The season-long numbers still look good, but the Packers are able to get him on Monday night. Dalton, I did mention Russell Wilson is back. Who cares, right?
Well, he threw the last two games before he went down with an injury, 8.6 YPA at Baltimore, only produced 9 points. But then the 3 touchdown passes against Kansas City, and last we saw him, it was a brutal concussion. He left with a bloody mess. But maybe they kind of found something before he went down, but likely not. And you're probably right. Who cares? Yeah. I'm not ranking him as a top 25 fantasy option this week, but just note that he's back, and he looked the best he had all season. The last two games leading up to his injury.
Yeah, Cortland Sutton is limited in practice. Sounds like he might get back out there, which is kind of a bummer for Jerry Jeudy, who'd been able to dominate the target tree without him. Scott, did you say you had a Dulcich prop? Should I be over Dulcich over Knox?
Yeah, I was just trying to look it up. I don't see anything posted yet, which you know Vegas is worried about getting buried by Greg Dulcich's volume, but I will endorse. I think he's probably going to be in the 20s, and I'll endorse an over on that.
Great. I can't wait to get this tight end thing wrong again. All right. Texans at Titans. Hey, Scott, I got to ask you. Ryan Tannehill ruled out. It sounds like he's going to miss the rest of the season. What is the PBI for Malik Willis replacing to Ryan Tannehill?
45%.
45%.
They know how they're going to win this game. Derrick Henry he has 200 yards getting off the bus against the Texans. They're gonna run Henry like crazy. We saw what they did earlier in the year. Somehow they got to overtime, the Titans did, in a Willis game where he couldn't complete anything downfield. He had like 4 or 5 completions in that game. This could be a game where the Titans throw for like 37 yards and they win anyway, because Henry, you know, stomps all over everybody. And maybe, in fact, Willis, the only thing I'll say about Willis is maybe his rushing prop might be worth it. You know, we know he's a good athlete. And this makes sense for the Titans. They're going nowhere this year. They may sneak into the playoffs. They may not. But they don't have any real upside. They might as well find out about Willis. Tannehill's not their long-term solution, so he might as well play. But Treylon Burks probably won't. With Willis in there, we can't play Okonkwo anymore. Even Austin Hooper had, like, if you squinted, had maybe some value with Tannehill. He doesn't have it now. But I just feel – what. Let me ask you this. How low would the number have to be if I said you're getting a free like $100 Derrick Henry prop as a Christmas present, holiday present? How low would the number have to be where you'd actually bet the under? Where would the number have to be where you go, yeah, he's not going to top that?
Dalton, you first.
Yeah, I mean, this setup looks so good. He's averaging 223 rushing yards, I think, the last 4 or 5 games against them. The Texans defense has been playing better, and theoretically, they should be so obvious that they're coming with the run, but it'd have to be silly high, like 125 or something.
I wouldn't even hesitate. To me, 125 is like an injury prop. As long as Henry doesn't get hurt, he's going to
be. I was thinking like 150 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are probably right. That's so high, though, really. But yeah, I mean,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Malik Willis has averaged 13 pass attempts in his 2 starts, and it looks like it's his time here. It sounds like Tannehill might be done for the season. Jacksonville has officially surpassed the Titans as the favorites to win the division. Willis absolutely has long-term fantasy upside given his rushing ability, which looks awesome. But man, it limits the whole pass. You can't start any. You don't think so? You question that, huh?
I mean, it would be nice to see it in a non-preseason game.
Well, it looks pretty awesome. Yeah, I hear you. But these capable.
This may look like a preseason game. You'd be surprised.
You got to bench all the pass catchers in Tennessee.
You can never tell if the Texans are playing their starters or not on offense, right? It's like, oh, wait, Jeff Driscoll? Wait, Chris
Moore?
That's
the best part is they've been pretty good these last 2 weeks, and it's like no Nico Collins, no Brandon Cooks, no Damian Pierce, and yet like now they're playing their best ball. But it's mostly – Dalton's right. We talked about it yesterday. It's mostly been on defense these last 2 weeks. Like they're hitting dudes. Like I hope Derrick Henry is ready to be getting in that ice bath like right after the game, because he's going to get – crunched in a couple of these spots.
Give Lovie Smith credit. He's at least the team's shown up, right? They should have beaten Dallas. I don't know how that game got to overtime last week. I mean, the Chiefs were over 500 yards by the end of the day, and the Texans were barely over 200. That should have been a blowout, but at least they haven't given up. You know, then they really should have beaten the Browns. They should have won the Deshaun Watson game. But you know, 3 return touchdowns, which is just one of the flukes of the season. That I think that was the highest defensive special team score of the year, of the fantasy year, was that week where the Browns somehow scored 3 times.
Yeah, the best part is not that it doesn't matter for a damn bit with this Texans like management. David Culley, they beat the Chargers, remember last year? They beat the Chargers 41-29 in week 16. They won in week 15 against the Jags. They lost to the San Francisco 49ers on January 2nd. But then they a field goal win against the Titans in week 18, and they still fired him after one season. So Lovie Smith got these guys playing hard. He might still get fired at the end of the season. 2 1-and-done coaches. What a hilarious thing there. Malik Willis, one thing I will say about, you know, maybe he might throw the ball a little bit better in these spots. Not that I wouldn't play him in fantasy. I wouldn't get excited about anything here. But last time we saw Malik Willis, Treylon Burks was out. I think Burks sounds like he's probably going to make his return in this game, right? And some of those, like, go balls that he was throwing to Chris Conley and these other, you know, goofballs against Kansas City in that start, like, Burks can at least win on those plays. So that might be – I am interested to see what their connection looks like, even if I'm not excited about the passing.
And now he has the tight end leader in yards per route run to throw to as well, Chig.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got Chig, too. I'm unfortunately got to play – not only do I got to play Knox over Dulcich, Scott, I've also got to play Knox over Chig with Malik Willis in there. So, unfortunately, I cannot get Dawson Knox out of my life. This is like the 100th time I've brought him up on the podcast. Falcons at Ravens. Next game up here. Dalton. Scott, what's the PBI on Tyler Huntley for Lamar Jackson? Dalton just has on the outline, is Tyler Huntley terrible?
Yeah, we're like looking at like 50%. Huntley didn't play that poorly last year, but he's looked like he just met his team 5 minutes before kickoff this season, and nothing's worked right.
To be fair,
we talked a little bit before the show about how poorly the Ravens stocked their receiver room. They thought Bateman was going to have a breakout year. He got hurt. That's bad luck. But not having adequate pieces alongside Bateman or behind him, that's just poor planning and unusual for a Ravens front office that usually is pretty smart. They just hung out Lamar Jackson to dry, and now it's hung out Huntley to dry too. Huntley's played poorly. Let's not mince words about that. But what an ugly receiver room. And they did a really poor job in the offseason, and they did nothing during the season. When you can do – teams make trades now. Receivers do change teams sometimes, and the Ravens, I think, really blew it for a team that's headed to the playoffs that has no downfield – there's no verticality to this offense.
Well, at least they got Sammy Watkins in the building, though.
Sammy Watkins.
The cheese, something. Scott. The cheese has gone bad on Sammy Watkins. Oh,
it's gone past going bad. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like hurting the resale value of the house at this point.
100%. But Scott, you brought up Drake London on the outline before I throw it to Dalton here. Marcus Peters listed out for this week. Calais Campbell listed out for this week. The targets have been there for Drake London. I feel like this could be a week that the production is there as well.
Yeah, Desmond Ridder didn't show much in his debut, but at least they got London going, and he's the clear number one. I feel confident that he'll have, and this is not an easy thing to do with Arthur Smith, but I feel confident that London's going to get you 7 or 8 targets, so he has a puncher's chance against the Baltimore secondary that's beaten up. So you have to withstand the Ridder part of it. I mean, it may be a case of you can roster London and maybe start him this week. Maybe you don't want to watch it. I think a per snap-to-snap basis, Atlanta loves to have run-heavy packages, but I do think the target share will be good enough for London that he's quasi-playable as, like, you know, high-end wide receiver 3.
Yeah, it's a good call. Dalton, Baltimore offense, disgusting.
Yeah, on one hand, Huntley definitely impressed at times last year, and he dealt with the COVID missed a whole week of practice and had to play, so you could excuse his poor finish. But on the other, you look at his one monster fantasy game against the Packers, and it was a big rushing performance and 5.4 yards per attempt passing, and he's been absolutely brutal this year, albeit against a pretty tough schedule, Denver, at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, and he has horrible receivers. But, you know, here in the fantasy playoffs at home against Atlanta, given his rushing equity, you want to start him, but looking at that, his passing ability, it's tough too. He might just be terrible. He might have been undrafted for a reason in the NFL.
Yeah, there was like weird buzz after he had that Packers game, like, oh, maybe he could be a starter.
Yes, exactly. Like, the whole league missed him, you know, not drafting him. But it looks like the more game film and the more tape, it looks like they were originally right.
Yeah, like he might be a fine backup in this type of offense that is a bad offense, a poorly designed offense anyways. So, yeah, I'm out on the whole Tyler Huntley experience. Saints at Browns. Dalton, do we have to get out from everybody here because of the wind? I'll tell you what, like, you know, Juwan Johnson, he's been scoring touchdowns. We know that. Rashid Shaheed, I think that guy can play a little bit. I was actually excited about him potentially as a sleeper in this matchup because Chris Olave is a little banged up. But The wind, bro. Tell us, put on your weatherman hat, Dalton. Tell us what we got.
It's supposed to be cold. Could be up to 50-mile-per-hour gusts. So just horrible. Yeah, I know you want to start your guy, Amari Cooper, at home, but Watson has been great. Alvin Kamara ran fewer routes than David Johnson last week. He's basically had all his production at home as well. So even though it looks favorable against the Browns defense, allowing the most EPA per rush, it's a tough one there, especially with Taysom Hill becoming a bigger part of the rushing offense. So Kamara's targets have declined. Yeah, Johnson in a tight end situation is so ugly, maybe because his routes are not, the A-dot's lower in the wind. But I mean, I'm in the league with a super flex. You could start three quarterbacks, actually, and I'm considering just sitting Andy Dalton here for a skill position player because of this weather. I mean, it's really, really rough, especially for all pass catchers involved.
Scott, you questioned PFF's secret sauce a few weeks ago, not to put you up against another metric. Did you know that Andy Dalton is Pro Football Focus's fifth highest graded quarterback on the year? Fifth. Just in terms of pure passing, he's second graded, only behind Patrick Mahomes.
You know, I'm not all that surprised by that. My Breakfast Table podcast partner, Michael Salfino, brought up a couple of weeks ago that Dalton was actually having a much better season than most people thought. If you look at, this is, you know, more of a back of the football card thing, but if you look at like all of his indexed metrics on pro Football Reference, where 100 is average, okay, yards per attempt, he's at 112, quarterback rating 112, sack rate 107, interception rate 101, touchdown rate 112, completion percentage 109. These are all over the league average. I never would have guessed it, because I remember that one game that was against Seattle, I want to say, where he threw like 17 pick sixes and it looked like he'd never play again. And Arizona. That's right. With that great photo of the Arizona defender flying into the end zone while Andy Dalton was walking off, you know, disconsolate, but had me pining for Jameis Winston. But none of this really matters. The wind is gusting in Cleveland. The over-under has been buried into the low 30s. You never see that in the NFL. And Juwan Johnson, somebody I think a lot of us wanted to play. He's got 7 touchdowns on his last 21 catches. So you say, yeah, okay, touchdown regression. That's unsustainable. But I also say when a team finds an easy button, they keep pressing it. So I would think if they do score a short touchdown, it's probably going to be to Johnson. We know it's not going to be to Alvin Kamara. He's got touchdowns in one game this year. He went off against the Raiders. He's scoreless against the rest of the NFL. He doesn't look that explosive to me. And for whatever reason, the Saints can't wait to play his backups. They can't wait to play Ingram or David Johnson. I mean, I'm waiting for Deuce McAllister to come out of retirement and get 9 touches in this game. I think the Saints have soured on Kamara a little bit. And the matchup isn't, you know, it would be good and on a clean track and everything. It's not going to be. 13 points may win this game. 17 points will win this game. I cannot play anybody. Even Nick Chubb's banged up. Hopefully he'll get cleared by game day. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I've been playing a lot of Peoples Jones this year, backing off that. I can't play Cooper in DFS. I certainly don't trust Deshaun Watson. I don't think he's played well at all. I think he's played poorly all 3 games, and they probably should have lost all 3 games. I thought Baltimore outplayed them slightly last week. When do you see Justin Tucker miss on a couple of field goal attempts? One of them was blocked, but that's just, you don't see that every day. But I don't trust either one of these teams right now. And I think it'll be a very low scoring game. And just one of those games that you're like, oh, I don't remember red zone going to the Brown Saints game. Or if you have that 8 box up, you won't be watching this game a lot. It'll be a lot of punting, a lot of running. The game will end 25 minutes earlier than everything else. There's nothing that really, don't be cute with this game. Just ignore it like we're trying to.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I don't remember a total this low ever in the NFL. And a couple more Kamara stats for you. He's averaging 122 yards from scrimmage at home, 59 on the road. He's lost more fumbles, twice as many fumbles as he had his entire career this season, 4, than he scored touchdowns this year. Just 3, as Pino mentioned, all in one game. He hasn't seen a carry inside the 5-yard line since week 8. I mean, it's just bizarre usage there. And Andy Dalton, by the way, the passing attack, he hasn't attempted more than 30 passes in a game in any of his last 7 games. So, and now you're looking at the worst matchup outdoors in this weather. So not great if you're relying on Saints this weekend.
Not great indeed. The Bucs haven't been great all year. They are our Sunday night preview here. They're going to Arizona. Scott, did you get us an official calculation on the Kyler to Colt PBI and then the Colt to McSorley PBI?
By the way, I just want to back up what Dalton said about the over-under from the previous game. I just did a quick search on Pro Football Reference. And believe it or not, there's actually been 9 times where an NFL total has been 30 or under in the last 30 years, most of them in the 90s, but there was a Buffalo, I'm assuming a lot of these were bad weather games, at Buffalo, at New England, at Philadelphia, at Chicago. The lowest I see is 28, New England, Indianapolis in 1993. That was a really bad Patriots team. I think the first Bill Parcells season, Bledsoe's rookie year. So it usually weather comes into play. It still doesn't change the fact that it's a really low total and a really gross game. You want McSorley PBI, you want McCoy PBI. The problem is Kyler Murray wasn't playing well. I'm going to say 40% for McSorley. The only thing I really like, and I know that Hopkins is generally quarterback proof, but I'm a little bit nervous on Hopkins. I've at least moved him down. You probably have to start him. I would not start anybody else in this passing game. At least James Conner never comes off the field. He'll play 90% or plus snaps. I mean, he looks at when Ingram wants to come on the field, you know, Connor just like waves him off, like, get out of here. It's my backfield. So he's going to do the James Connor. He's going to have 18 carries for 55 yards. He's going to have like 4 catches for like 19 yards and a touchdown, and he'll be running back 12. And you'll never feel like he ever played well. You'll never feel like Arizona was watchable. You'll hate yourself for watching this game. And yet, James Connor will somehow contribute fantasy value despite all the grossness around him.
Dalton, how about on the other side, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield?
Yeah, I'm just curious how the touches will continue to shake out there. Rashad White had back-to-back games with a lost fumble before last week. He secured the football, and then Fournette botched a snap with Brady, who somehow finished with 4 turnovers. They split their touches totally evenly, 14-13. This should be a nice – I think you can use both in this matchup against Arizona with the game script that should have Tampa Bay playing with the lead in the second half. But, yeah, I'm curious how Fournette and White divvy up their playing time down the stretch.
I saw a stat from Hayden Winks the other day. I just looked it back up again. There are 57 qualifying running backs in yards after contact per carry. The Bucks backs are 56th and 57th per Pro Football Focus. So what a duo. What an offense they got there in Tampa Bay.
Just horrible. Yeah, it's been a rough season, and yet they're in the right division. Then you know they're just going to beat the Cowboys in the first round of the playoffs too. But yeah, it's been a bizarre year.
Oh, God, how miserable will that be? All right, Monday Night Football, last game we got here, Chargers at Colts. Dalton, you talked about Zach Moss a little bit earlier. Where is the, like, confidence level with a guy like Zach Moss? And what should be a good matchup, at the same time, though, you know, I could see the Chargers blowing the doors off the Colts here. Not that they never blow the doors off anybody, but if they did, that would be more Deion Jackson than Zach Moss.
Totally true. You're relying on game script here, but man, Jackson lost a fumble with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, only played 2 of the 17 snaps after. Zach Moss played all 8 in overtime, ended up with 24 carries. It's a good matchup, but absolutely game script could turn this into a Deion Jackson game. So just kind of depends on your needs and what risk here, because absolutely game script could factor here. But right now, Zach Moss is the feature back for the Colts, a Colts team that theoretically wants to run the ball. So he's a viable option if you need him in a matchup here that I expect to be close. Chargers as favorites, I mean, that never ends well. I expect this game to be competitive. So maybe I'm off base here. Zach Moss is not a special player, but I'm squinting and kind of treating him as like my RB24 this week. But maybe I'm being too optimistic.
And maybe I'm being too optimistic. I'm going to give Nick Foles 95 PBI, basically a Matt Ryan clone. Which means, I guess, Michael Pittman's still in play. I see it's interesting. He's ranked between 23rd and 27th on the 4 Yahoo rankers, and his industry rank is right in that neighborhood as well. So lower end run wide receiver 2, a higher end flex, but still playable. A game you don't have to worry about whether the game script would probably line up. We know you can move the ball on the Chargers. Usually you do it more on the ground than through the air, but I don't think Foles is any different than Matt Ryan at this point. So I'm still going to play Pittman with the general confidence I have. I mean, he's been a minus player based on where his ADP went. We thought he was going to have a breakout season. He hasn't. A lot of it's because of the pieces around him haven't worked out, but I still think you're starting Pittman in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, it definitely would seem that, I don't know, it would seem that like Nick Foles, in the past, he's been a guy that could get, like, would push the ball down the field, whether he could do it or not is a totally different question. I mean, you know, whether it would be successful, but he's definitely extremely pocket statuesque. is old Nick Foles there. I'm just looking back at his.
What's Matt Ryan? He's basically, you know, he's just another version of Matt Ryan, right? He's a poor man's Matt Ryan, or maybe just a discount, like a coupon clipping Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is stupid to do because, you know, it's Nick Foles, like, and it's 2020, but his air yards were per attempt were at least like 8.02, which is much higher than anything we've gotten from old, from freaking old Matt Ryan at any point this year. So I don't know. Maybe we get him to push. Like, Michael Pittman has 4 targets of 20 plus yards all year long. 4.
Wow.
1, 2, 3, 4. That is so bad. So maybe Foles gets him his 5th.
Hopefully. Yeah. BDN and BCB starting the same weekend. What a world.
Oh, well, Merry Christmas to us. All right. On that note, that is
good times,
do it
guys.
For
good
us.
Times.
Yeah. Great stuff. Shout out to both you guys. Hell of a show. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Hope you enjoy the weekend. Hope you see as little of Broncos Colts as you possibly can, unless you really just don't want to spend that time with your family. It is what it is. All right. That's going to do it for us. If you want to call yourself a sharp fantasy player, how are you not following at @Scott_Pienowski and at Dalton Del Don on Twitter? We actually got a native Dalton Del Don tweet this morning. Oh, wow. We love to see it. You can and should also, I guess, be following me at @MattHarmon_BYB and at Yahoo Fantasy. The jokes will at least be on fire from the Yahoo Fantasy account during the games. Scott will be back with me on Monday with a recap of the games. Programming note, though, I should say, our recap is not going to be available Monday morning. We are taping Monday morning. That's a good note for me to add here. So it might be out a little bit later than usual since we're not going to record on Sunday night because it's holidays, people, for God's sakes. Give me a break. All right. Until then, we're out.